let me share a personal thought. Maybe some of you who were planning to go to the Holy Land might have this same thing in mind. We were supposed to leave last night, and so at this time, if you look at our airline tickets, we would be in, I think, in Abu Dhabi now, maybe preparing to board our flight to Tel Aviv. So since this was the day we were supposed to be on our way to the Holy Land, I can't help but think of it. I even have it marked on my calendar, marked on my phone. Last night I had a little notice. It popped up on the phone, prepare for going to the airport. Anyway, in the providence of God, mysterious providence of God, a terrible war has broken out there. It's still terrible. It's something that we have to be praying for the solution to. And perhaps those of us who are planning to go there have a more of a burden to pray for peace there, because we are somehow connected with what's going on there. So we were, the pilgrims, some of you are here, so I can say that we're encouraged to join in a novena to St. Joseph's. Yesterday was the beginning of the novena, to pray for peace in the Holy Land. Okay, well, let's look at the liturgy. Yesterday we had that great gospel passage where Jesus revealed the greatest of the commandments. He was asked, what's the greatest? And he said, this is the greatest. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Love God. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, strength. And then he added the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Love of God, love of neighbor. It's the whole package. It's the summary of all that we are supposed to do, of all that we're created to do. Jesus always places love of God and love of neighbor together. He could have, in answer to the question yesterday, he could have said, well, this is the first and the greatest commandment, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. He could have stopped there, but he didn't, and he never does. Love of God and love of neighbor are inseparable. In fact, some scholars speak as if it's really just one commandment. There's one commandment. Love God and love your neighbor. It's two parts of one commandment. But Jesus said in yesterday's gospel, it's two commandments, but they're inseparable. Now, I stress this because the Sunday gospel gives the character to the whole week in the liturgy, as you know. It points us in a direction. And this week, we have the important days to unite ourselves with the saints. All Saints Day is on Wednesday. And then we unite ourselves with the whole church praying for our deceased loved ones. All Souls Day, that's on Thursday. And this commandment to love God and love our neighbor is the basis for these celebrations. You might say, well, why do we care about the saints, and why do the saints care about us? I mean, they finished their race, they made it to heaven, they're there rejoicing in the presence of God. What do they have to do with us? Well, they can't just be in heaven loving God without loving their neighbor. So yes, they intercede for us. It's inseparable. It might seem to us like all they have to do is rejoice in the presence of God, but that's not how it strikes them. Their love for God is intimately connected with their love for us, and that's why we can ask the saints in heaven to pray for us, because that's what they want to do anyway. In fact, they'll do it even if we don't ask them. But it's just a revelation of this connection. And then when we get to All Souls Day, this will be our reflection, of course, later in the week, but the Sunday Gospel directs us in that way. Well, what about these people who have already died? Most people probably think that that's it. I mean, that's it. There's nothing more that can be done. But no, the church's wisdom is no. We can love our neighbor, including our neighbors who have already died. Love of neighbor extends beyond this world. That's why we pray for our deceased loved ones. In today's gospel, Jesus heals a woman who has been crippled for 18 years, and he does it on the Sabbath day, very deliberately. on the Sabbath day in front of everybody, including the leader of the synagogue. And the leader of the synagogue says, well, don't do it on the Sabbath day. Come on the other days. There's 6 days when work can be done. If you want to be cured, come on those days. Don't come on the Sabbath day. Which strikes us as being a very strange thing to say. But you might get an insight into this way of thinking if you try to separate love of God and love of neighbor, because that's what this man is doing. It's the Sabbath day. It's the day to love God. It's the day for the worship of God. It's the Lord's day. The Lord says, don't work. Spend your time in prayer. Stop everything and love and worship God. Right. Because he's not thinking that love of neighbor and love of God go together. He's just thinking about love of God. And so love of God seems to his mind to say, to indicate, well, that don't do anything else. Don't go curing people. It's a distraction from love of God. He's not the only one who thinks like this. There are a lot of people who can be so dedicated to what they think is their worship of God that they neglect their own neighbor, even their own families. It can happen. As if love of God or our devotion to God or our dedication to the worship of God somehow exempts us from caring for one another. No, no. Because if we separate the two commandments, then we end up like this leader of the synagogue. We think that love of God is somehow contrary to or separated from love of neighbor. There are people who take the other extreme, you know, maybe it's the more common one. People who say, well, we should spend our time caring for one another and not waste all this time talking about God who's invisible and is who knows where he is. And so more people are saying, if you're going to be a good person, well, do good things for people in need. Don't waste your time in church. Don't waste your time praying. Get out there and do something. And this has even become a kind of a regular response in the United States when there's a tragedy, if there's a mass shooting. People naturally say, well, I'm offering prayers for the victims. My thoughts and prayers go with the victims of this terrible injustice. And then someone will pipe up on social media and say, we don't need your prayers. We need you to stop this social curse of these people who are shooting each other. As if to say, you either are going to pray or you're going to help people. One or the other. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. Love God with your whole heart. Doesn't exclude love for neighbor. They're either together or you have neither one. So here's this woman, crippled 18 years. Jesus on the Sabbath, the day of the Lord, heals the woman. And when the man objects, he says, well, you're being a hypocrite here. You're being a hypocrite. You're acting as if you're a holy man. You're putting on a holy exterior when in fact you're not concerned about this woman who's a member of your own congregation. And she's been here for 18 years. Maybe, even likely, that the synagogue leader thought that that woman shouldn't even be there in the first place, because sick people are a defilement of the community. He probably thought she should stay away from the holy event in the synagogue. And there she was. He was probably already upset that she was even there. He got even more upset when Jesus cured her. But listen to Jesus' reasoning in order to expose the hypocrisy. You, on the Sabbath day, you untie your ox or your ass from the manger and lead it out for watering. You take care of your livestock. Because that's not a violation of the Sabbath. That's just normal life. That's what you do. If you're going to take care of livestock, you let them drink water on the Sabbath. And no one ever thought that that was a violation of the Sabbath. And then he says, well, if you do that, if you untie your livestock, would you not untie this woman from her bondage to Satan for 18 years? Where's the logic? And everybody who hears it realizes that's impeccable logic. That's exactly true. Of course you do. You take care of your own sister who's here. She's much more important than the ox or the ass. And so it says, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at the splendid deeds done by him. So the adversaries were humiliated. They were silenced by this truth declared so openly in the synagogue. But the whole crowd rejoiced. Now, the rejoicing of the crowd is, yes, rejoicing at the splendid deeds he had done, rejoicing at love of neighbor on display. But at the same time, they're giving glory to God. And this is what the woman herself does. She stood up straight and glorified God. She stood up straight. Well, that's the human, the natural, the kind of physical response to being cured, and glorifying God. So the standing up straight is what everybody saw. The glorifying God is what was in her heart. Love of God and love of neighbor. St. Paul, always giving us a deeper understanding of the spiritual life. Here we're on up to Romans chapter 8, reading from the first reading. He continues to reflect on the difference between life according to the flesh and life according to grace, slavery to sin or slavery to God. Here he talks about the difference between living according to the flesh or living according to the Spirit. And he reminds us that this is not simply something that we do. Yes, we're called to love God and love our neighbor, but that's not just a human project. It's God himself who makes it possible for us to live this way. He gives us his own Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We do not have a spirit of slavery, making us stoop down, leading us in bondage to the things of this world, especially to sin. That's not the spirit that we have received. We have received the spirit of adoption into God's family, what makes it possible for us to call God our own father. Abba, he uses the word, Abba. Our papa, what's the word in Tagalog? Tatay, our tatay. That's the gift that has been given to us, to say, Abba, Tatai. If we're children of God, he says, and we are, then we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. What Christ has inherited, which is everything, we have inherited in him. So it's not as if we have to muster up the energy to love God and love our neighbor. That energy is already poured into us in the Spirit. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God created us to do. To love God and love our neighbor. If we take any stance against love, either against love of God or against love of neighbor, we're actually stifling our own supernatural destiny. That's what happens with this synagogue leader. But it happens to us whenever we choose sin. So the scriptures, I think, are a good reminder to us of the great plan of God for us. Here, I started out by saying we had this great plan to go to the Holy Land. What a great idea to go to the Holy Land. Well, okay, it all fell apart. But God's plan has not fallen apart. God's plan that we love him with our whole heart and that we love one another and that love keep growing even into the next life, that plan has not been thwarted. So let's take on this project, this pilgrimage of love. And as we renew our love for God, let that love also fill us and overflow from us into love for our neighbor.